Right. Let's talk about what the show is about tonight. The angry mother syndrome, right? It refers to a condition that's characterized by a persistent or intense display of anger, irritability, and aggression by a mother towards her child or children, right? It involves a recurrent episode that are disproportionate to the situation that may result in verbal or physical abuse. This syndrome can have a significant emotional, psychological, and developmental effects on both mother and the child or children. It is important that we note that angry mother syndrome is not recognized as a clinical diagnosis, but rather a term used to describe a pattern of problematic behavior and its impact on the family dynamic. So, what you got to say about that, Mama?
It's a typical thing, you know, when children are born, the body goes through changes, the mind goes through changes, the family dynamic changes, the relationship with the mate may change, she's depleted physically, nutritionally. It's a lot of things that are taken out, bringing forth a life in the world, so... When you think about all of those changes taking place at the same time, it can be kind of devastating and overwhelming to a new mother.
Definitely. I mean, you know, we both have multiple children. I have two boys, one that was birthed at home. And that experience was crazy because you're absolutely right. You get to see firsthand exactly what you're saying is pulled from you, in essence, of not just vitals, like, you know, the placenta carries so much nutrients, not only for the mother, but for the baby. And all of that leaves a gaping hole inside the woman.
Absolutely.
But so are you saying it's okay? Like, are you saying it's okay for these mothers to be angry? Like, outside of potential necessary healing, are you saying that because of this, that it might be acceptable for angry mothers?
I think it's more, should be understandable rather than acceptable. I don't think that, you know, anger really has a place between a mother and a baby, an infant, a newborn, or even a toddler, you know, for that matter. But there are dynamics that I was stating before that take place in the family dynamic that create, it's a new territory. You've never been here before. And you could be on your sixth or seventh child and still have never been here before.
Right.
Yeah, everything, the situation is different. And so I think there's a place where the mother, we live in a very fast society, and the mother in this particular country doesn't have the time to rest her mind and accept the new dynamic. The family doesn't, because what do? We give a mother maternity leave right when she's ready to birth the child. Then she gets, what, 6 weeks to try to bond with the child.
Wait, if she has a cesarean, she gets 8.
Yeah, that 2 weeks will make a difference, right? And you know, I would say that problem takes place in a country like this one, where there's very little respect given to the power of the woman and what she represents, a life giver. And when so much is expected from her, taken from her, you know, and nothing is, well, I won't say nothing. A lot of times there are very good relationships, but more times than not, there's problems with the abrupt change in family dynamic that causes her to be overwhelmed. And when women get overwhelmed and they're not soothed properly, they lash out.
Oh yeah, that overstimulation can be a beast. But okay, so we've kind of defined kind of both sides, right? The mother's perspective, I believe, and then kind of what the world sees and defines as the angry mother syndrome on the outside. So on the one hand, it is very much so a woman needing time, space, and reciprocity to be able to come back into herself. Because during this process, if we're starting from childbirth, right, she's losing a lot of vitamins, a lot of minerals, a lot of blood, a lot of water. And then 3 days later, her hormones spike immensely. After carrying two people, she's now immediately, after whatever amount of hours, only one person again. And her body is going into shock on that day. And then 3 days later, it goes into shock again, trying to get it back while simultaneously now producing milk
for the child. If that's what she's doing, because most women don't do that. And then that's a factor.
Okay. Now, I guess the topic of the show is then, what effect does this have, right? Because we see it in two different ways. You and I, as women, can understand how I legit have nothing to give anymore, and you shouldn't expect me to act as any kind of normal standard of human. But on the outside, that looks like an, or it could manifest eventually, if unkept, right, unchecked, into what we're considering this angry mother syndrome. So what's the impact? What impact does this state that mothers are being put in have on humanity, on the family dynamic?
Well, like I said, and there are other countries, other cultures, where time is given to the mother to adjust, to readjust, to the family to adjust, to readjust, to, you know, the rituals, the whole family's involved, their parents, the family members come over and they cook for her, they take care of the woman who's had this child, you know, they're nursing, they're taking care of her, they're doing all of these things, but we don't have that. We don't have those traditions in those cultures here. You know, on a majority, we don't have them. And
they're actually quite frowned upon.
If that was the case where we did have that, the number of cases of angry mother syndrome would be reduced significantly. But there's no process in place to take the woman from, you know, carrying this child to taking care of herself, being taken care of, and being revered and celebrated that you brought this life into the world. And we're going to take care of you until you're strong enough to take care of yourself, and we're going to cook for you, and we're going to do all these things for you and give you this break. Well, we don't get that. So that's why the frustration and the overwhelming feelings come about, and the anger, because I'm being asked to give and give, and I've given and I'm not getting anything in return. You know, she might get a foot rub from a mate or something, but for the most part, she's kind of being left to just deal with this new life. And yeah, you know? And she doesn't really have it to give. So, because she hasn't been rested and nourished properly.
Got it. So, Brother Inky, thank you for joining us. Brother Inky, how you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you, ladies, for having me on.
Ashe, always. So you jumped in. I want to see how much you kind of caught. Do you need me to catch you up on anything? Because I want to ask you a couple questions.
Definitely. You could definitely catch me up. I think I heard the last couple minutes in the back. In the back studio before you brought me up. But yeah, definitely. I know I missed about 7-8 minutes.
Okay, no worries. So tonight's topic, we're talking about the angry mother syndrome, right? And so far we've just define what that means. It's not a clinical description. It's just a euphemism that is, you know, termed to say what we see on the outside. My mom and I have been discussing from the women's perspective, hey, what's really going on, which may end up causing women to act and behave in such a manner. But the real big picture of the conversation tonight is what this effect has on our sons and daughters. So you and I don't know what your parental situation was like, but if you had an angry mom, it may have affected you. I know a lot of women are in my age range are healing from angry mothers. So I want to know what your take is on that, being from the masculine perspective.
Interesting. Well, there's the nutritional side of it. You know, there's a lot of things that we could probably discuss if we go in that direction that would lead a mom, especially nowadays, into angry mom syndrome, just because of, you know, her biochemistry and neurochemistry are probably in the toilet. You know, whenever you like athletes, you know, one of the things that I hear in debate conversation anyway is that people would say, well, if exercising was so good for you, how come, you know, like athletes and bodybuilders don't live a long time? The reason is that sweat kills a lot of people, you know, and it's such a simple thing, but the simple things in life are the most overlooked things. Mm. When you have a good workout, you sweat a lot. And in that sweat, you lose more nutrition than you could replace in a meal or a smoothie. And because we eat the same thing all the time, we allow small nutrient deficiencies to become life-threatening after they pile up for years. Mm. When a woman gives birth, she goes through probably the most nutrient depleting process known to mankind. The baby is literally a plague, a black hole for nutrients in her body, because you're literally constructing a brand new human from scratch. You're making a whole human from one cell. So if the woman doesn't eat properly, which most times we don't, most women have gotten into this casual, you know, I've got the munchies program, and it's not a real, you know, they don't really take their diet seriously. They don't take the process of nutrition seriously in life in general, but more specifically during the pregnancy and then after the pregnancy. I launched a campaign with Sister Abundance Child out of Delaware to get women to become more aware of like the benefit to breastfeeding versus feeding their babies out of cans and boxes. But it's like, I feel like I need to go back and do a whole new breastfeeding campaign all over again, because women think they can eat McDonald's and then breastfeed. It's like, no, you don't have anything in the breast. It might be milk coming out, but that milk doesn't really, it's not high. Yeah, it's you breastfeeding Whoppers and doubled, you know, you so
but from you know, let me interject, because for me, one, I watch my lineage, my homage, the person that I modeled my breastfeeding after was Michael Jordan's mother, because she nursed him till 3 years old. So I did my best with both my boys to nurse them till three, because of the colostrum, because of all the things. And because I'm one of the most frugal people that you will ever meet, I wasn't finna spend no money on milk when my body already does that.
Right.
The simple things in life. The best you know thing you saying? Can feed a child is free.
Yep. Like you said, yeah. But you know, the ability for a woman to bounce back after she has a baby is based upon her kidney and liver meridian. So her ability to bounce back is simply based upon her ability to digest her food properly. But the food has to be nutrient rich.
Facts.
And like Doctor said, you're not doing that. The second issue is that, well, I guess it's the first issue. When the man and the woman conceive, what's in them, both at that time, mentally, emotionally, physically, goes into that child, creating that child. So yeah, you have a brand new human being, but how healthy is it? Because number three, you might not be healthy because you might not have planned for the pregnancy. Man. People plan for the child by putting decorations up in a room, creating a nursery, but the pregnancy, the time when the woman is the body that holds this, going to hold and house this baby for 9 months, ain't ready.
I literally wrote a whole book on this subject called Vegan Babies. Well, I got a lot of babies. I got 10 babies, so babies is a big thing for me. But I wrote a book on this because a lot of times people, after they have the baby, they want to know what's going on and this, this, and that. And I'm like, you made this baby come out of a nightclub. Yeah, you was in a nightclub. You was snorting powder, popping pills, blowing trees, getting drunk, having sex like that. And in that kind of drug-induced, alcohol-induced sex, you made the baby. You stop by Popeyes or Denny's, the fast food, you know, to pull up at 3 o'clock in the morning, leaving the club. You went to the house and got, you know, so that's the foundation of what you started.
So what I'm hearing from both parties, from masculine and feminine, is that the angry mother syndrome starts way before the woman even becomes a mother.
Yeah.
Dang. So we are predisposing ourselves to become angry mothers based off of lack of nutrition, lack of health, lack of education. Is that planning? Lack of planning, lack of organization in that regard, lack of management and self-control, which would be
discipline. All of those things to me are like literally the ways that you would define love. Because if you love yourself,
that's right.
You're going to prioritize your nutrition. You're going to prioritize, you know, this life-changing experience to where, you know, like, even if you just doing your thing, kind of enjoying yourself and it's not planned, even if you started from day one, like, let's say you didn't, the ideal thing would be to plan it in advance and start at least 6 months to 12 months before the pregnancy. Like a whole 9 months before the 9 months.
But even better than that, that is your lifestyle. You always ready. Stay ready so you ain't got to get ready.
You ain't got to get ready. Man, that's a bar right
like
there.
The thing that, after my second child, I got up to 240 pounds. And I was like, yo, this is ridiculous. Like, wow. I can walk upstairs without gasping for air. I used to sit on the, you know, the office chairs that have the compression. I would sit down and the chair would move down. Like, that was it. That was the straw for me. Like, yo, bruh, this is too much. I'm not going to be able to run after my kids. I'm not going to be able to do any of these things. So I took advantage of the science of breastfeeding, right? You burn 500 calories just from making the milk. So if I add that 500 calories from what I'm doing, and then I change my diet, so now I'm eating nutrient dense, now I'm supplying everybody with better stuff. My body's already working harder twice, right? One, to make the milk, two, to digest the nutrient dense food. And then all I had to do was create a habit for myself of fitness. I had to find something that I was going to like until I became just as addicted to it as I was the sedentary lifestyle that I did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then,
go ahead.
The importance of a healthy parent-child relationship starts before, like now, because women are born with all their children that they will ever have or potentially have. So being a woman is really high value because now you're always caring for children, not only when you're pregnant, but always.
Yeah.
When you say stay ready so you ain't got to get ready. So you should always be thinking, oh snap, I might be pregnant. Not that you want that thing to happen, but it's kind of like if we cared for ourselves like we were sick, we would be well more often.
That's a fact.
That's definitely true. I just got to interject a little bit about the fact of what you said about staying ready and being ready, and that is the quality of the relationship between the mother and the father plays a vital role in how you treat or look at this baby. If that entity is not something that is wealthy, or you don't feel loved enough by that which helped create it, then when you're dealing with that entity, you're dealing with this, this, and this. And you're carrying that into the pregnancy, because why was I overweight when I got pregnant? I was carrying some burden. It's the hormones just amplified it. Yeah, it made it put it on 5,000. And that's not the case in all cases. However, if you do the math, do the history, do the statistics, you will find that probably 8 times out of 10, maybe 7, that there were some issues with the quality of the relationship, because the quality of the relationship determines the quality of the pregnancy. The quality of the pregnancy determines the quality of the lifestyle with the child after birth. And thus, the family, the new family unit after that.
Family dynamic, yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure that people that tuned in may not have thought the conversation was going to go this way, because, you know, Black women tend to be low on the totem pole. This is June. We celebrating PTSD, not celebrating, but bringing awareness to PTSD, especially in our community, especially in our men. And we want to honor our men. But in order to truly, in my opinion, honor our men, we have to elevate or re-elevate our women, the respect that's had for them, because they are the ones that create both our men and our women. So quick question, guys. What the syndrome that we're talking about, what role would you say society, culture factors, systematic racism, intergenerational trauma, like what do you think those things have to do or how they affect this syndrome?
Ladies first.
Well, I think it's more a human issue than a cultural issue, but the culture affects the outcome. Because like I said earlier, if you had a culture that, you know, revered the family changing, they would have people there to take care of the woman. They would have been, the couple would have gone through some sort of counseling and before the pregnancy, and it would have been planned and so on and so forth, and they would have made sure that she was healthy and she knew when to get pregnant and what moon and to do it on and all of those types of things from a, you know, spiritual cultural perspective.
Gotcha.
When you have those things missing in a culture, it's just like how we spend money on a wedding, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on weddings, but the marriage only lasts 10 days because the effort and was not put into the marriage, it was put into the wedding. And just like in this case, the effort is not being put into the family dynamic of the pregnancy and the child coming into the world, is put into the nursery decorations. And a whole lot of foolishness, you know, baby showers and crap. And, you know, we're missing the boat. I don't know if I answered the question or not, but.
I understand what she was putting down.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely agree. I will probably just add on. I think that. I think that our society has been turned against children all the way around. So now we're in a society like where the Bible predicted that we would be consuming our babies. right now they trying to bring light to the string of kidnappings in Ohio. In like 2 weeks, I think 27 kids went missing. All around the world right now, the birth rate is dropping incredibly low to the point where, you know, Donald Trump has added it to his campaign for his next presidential election. Like, hey, I'll be giving out birth bonuses. Anyone who has a baby, I'll be sending them a check, like, to get people to make more babies. I think that the whole process of the man, woman, and child thing, and it could be a byproduct of global depopulation efforts. But I think it was, you know, worked into the Western idea of money is the most important thing. And money is fiat. It doesn't really actually have a value. So I think that's like the biggest trick that's been played, is that the human soul or spirit doesn't have a value because there's no God, obviously. Right. And that money is the value. So in life, the first thing you need to do is go to school so that you could have a good job. And then after you go to school, you know, you're only going to be able to get a menial job with that. So you need to go to college. Then after you go to college, now you fit to go get you a good job at 25, 30 years old. And once you get that job, you know, you want to make sure that you turn that job into a career before you pursue a family. So you should be, you know, 30, 35 years old before you even consider making a baby or two, you know. And to me, that whole process is backwards. You know, the babies should come first. The whole planning and central aspect of your life should be to reproduce. That's how you show honor, love, and respect to your mothers, your fathers, and your deities all the way back. The one thing for sure that we know that our parents left us, like they say all the time, you know, if you're born in poverty, your parents ain't leave you nothing. That's a lie. Your parents left you the most important thing that you'll ever have, which is your flesh. And you got your genes and your DNA from them. So that's proof that they exist all the way back, you know, centuries and centuries. So we don't think about epigenetics. You know, what is it? What are we going to contribute to the DNA that we have to better the DNA that we pass along? Does it make sense that we have our first child at 35 or 40 years old? There's going to be such a time gap between you and your child that even if you really into children, you can't really visit. You can't really.
It's hard to relate.
Yeah, you can't really relate in the way that you want to, because if you have your first child at 35 and it's a boy, by the time he's 15 years old, you 50 trying to play basketball.
Wait, come on. These 50 year olds nowadays, you know what I'm saying, looking better than some of these 20 year olds. So that don't necessarily seem.
But the ones that take care of themselves. The ones that take care of themselves. But that's not, you know, we don't have enough of them. You know, the reality is we still got most people that put the money over new life and even their own life. So since the money is the highest priority, you know, they got this, you know, the fat belly, and, you know, it just, we're not prioritizing the babies, families, our health, like the things that's really valuable in this world. We're not prioritizing those things. You're having a child, having a family, that's the highest priority. It's not money. You know what I'm saying? Right. Money is only as meaningful as what you do for it or your family or your community. But you see a lot of people now, they get money and they don't do anything for their family or their community. In fact, the moment they get a few dollars, they start saying that the family and the community is, you know, trying to bring them down and all kinds of other, you know. So like the whole, our whole programming has to be reset, and it starts early on in school with what we're taught. And going back to what,
whoa, 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 I'm sorry. It's got to start before school.
At home, absolutely. But the only reason why I pinpoint in school is because that's when the outside influence tends to become more powerful than what's going on at home. A lot of people don't really pay that attention, but the quality hours of your child's life are not spent with you. So because your child's quality, because the child's quality hours are spent with strangers that don't love them, they develop a hard exterior. And then by the time they get 10, 11, 12, they don't really, you know, respect your opinion because your opinion was never really there as they were shaping their mind and personality. I try to tell the fathers, it's important for you to be there by hook or by crook when your baby is born, because you want the baby coming out to make eye contact with you. That's like a super important thing that, like, I can't under, like, that can't be overstated. And that connect, because the baby is inside of mom. Baby's inside of mom. So mom kind of tucked away in that aspect. She got the cheat code. Baby's inside of mom.
The only person that's ever heard my heart beat from the inside, you know what I'm saying?
Man, so when the baby comes out, dad, that's your opportunity to make that, like, yeah, I'm the other half. Like, yeah, it's me. But we give that up and let a stranger stand there. A stranger standing there to catch the baby. Then a lot of times, not knowing any better in the hospital, we allow the strangers again to do the first feeding. Like, oh, let me show you how to feed the baby. I mean, I'm gonna show you what the he ain't showing me nothing. Give me that baby.
Well, now you're talking. Give me that baby. Yeah. Now you're then speaking about culture difference. That would never crazy. Happen. And other cultures, it would never happen. No. It only facts. Here.
That's a fact. And then a lot of times, moms be the baby don't even be walking yet, and they putting the baby in daycare, and then boom, boom, boom. So you
answered the whole point about, well, first of all, you got the time. I'm just gonna say this piece, and I know you're getting ready to say something, sis, but you mentioned something about the good job, and that's the other piece. So I've gone through this process. I went on maternity leave. I got my body all bent out of shape. I'm now all big and whatever, unhealthy, looking terrible. I'm here. Husband's going back to work. It's just me and you. I'm tired.
You're losing my mind.
I got to hurry up and get back to work in 6 weeks before my maternity. You don't realize how resentful a woman could feel in a situation like that, where she's being forced to give up her time, her money, her body, the nutrients in her body, her physical appearance, her emotions, her ability to care for herself. All of that is taken away in her sleep.
The Six most weeks is insane. Six you weeks know. Is insane for maternity leave. Yeah. Like, that should be
the sex life, you know, the relationship.
It's a year or better. Maternity leave everywhere else but the United States is a year or better. If not, you know what I'm saying?
Because that's where we place value on the women.
Okay, so let's get into it, right? We understand the problem because of, and it is so dope that men and women agree. I just always want to point that out on the show, that the guys and goddesses are uniting in the fact that we agree. Women are being called angry because they're being put in a circumstance where they're chemically imbalanced, and we know it, and then we don't do anything to show respect for that precious, precious time of life. Right. So what things can we inspire the community to do? Because that change ain't gonna happen overnight. There's a lot of changes that as individuals, you know, it's gonna take the collective to kind of unify that. But in the interim, within our communities, what, let's say, six things could they do? Because if you're not pregnant, you may not be a lot that you can physically do, but what six things can you do to start to create this community where women are revered again and showed the respect that they're deserving of, especially again under this time, so that we no longer have this angry mother syndrome? Because then you start to internalize these principles of slavery and low self-worth, and then we keep replicating this cycle, and it's got to stop. So six things from both of you, doesn't matter. Yeah, ladies first.
You know, it's not something that can be done on a national level. I mean, we can create groups, support groups, you know, connect with them, doulas, midwives, things like that are on the rise. That is an indication of the need. But there's a community effort nationwide that has to take place to reintroduce cultures. I would say one of the things is research what other cultures do, you know, and how they, other countries do, and how they, their women don't have the things, the issues, and what is that thing with the baby, smothering the baby in the bed, letting the baby sleep in the crib, I call it the crypt, because it looks like a jail cell. I don't care for those things, but the mindset, I guess, is the worst, and that they don't revere other people's belief systems and cultures. I think if you did that, look at other cultures, other countries, and how they treat their pregnant wives or whatever, what the men do, what the families do as a whole, how they address the child, they have naming ceremonies, blessing rituals, and all of these things. I get spirits when my baby was born at home. One of them, of three. It was totally different having my oldest baby in the hospital where it was cold and everybody's coming in, pulling up the sheets, is it out yet? And yanking and squeezing and poking and prodding, and versus being at home in the water and listening to the music that I like and sipping on my little teas and concoctions and having my incense burning, and the whole family was there, and you know, the man that put the baby in there pulled the baby out, and the daughter cut the cord with the midwife scissors that belonged to my grandmother. You know, it was very personal. So we've taken that away. You think about how women, and I know you asked for six things, but I will say this, the whole concept, mindset about how women are treated, here's one issue right here. An emergency comes from the word emerge. There's only one situation that's been created where one person emerges from another. And that's when a woman is giving birth. Hmm. Now, in our society, a wino and another wino can be fighting on the street corner, and one will break a wine bottle and cut the other. And the rescue squad will be called to take them to the hospital. But a woman having a baby is not worthy of the rescue squad, the ambulance, to come to her home and take her to the hospital, where she is in the most life-threatening position two people ever will ever be in their entire lives. And you cannot call a rescue squad to come and pick a woman up to take her to the hospital. So it tells you, you know, they're telling us where the value lies. So until those types of things happen, we can make plans and decisions and create organizations and go to therapies and all the things to prevent this syndrome, these things from happening. But unless it's addressed at the top, there's nothing that's going to change. Because this is the society we created where the woman is lower than dirt. hate to say it like that, but she's not revered at all in this time. And because she's not, things like angry woman syndrome, baby SIDS, what is it, syndrome, and all that stuff.
Sudden infant death.
It's actually a normal thing to occur here.
Hmm.
I don't know how many things that were. That's for 2 minutes. I'm used to 3. He just switched up and asked for 6. Well, he must be.
What about you, Dr. Inky?
All right, yeah, I was writing mine down. So the first thing I would say is to read more on current affairs. I think that our daughters and granddaughters are going to be in the sweet spot, because the way things are going now, the women that actually can have babies are going to be much more socially valued in the decades to come because of the global crisis that we're in.
I can see that.
Yeah, because like I said, right now what we're doing is not sustainable. Like the way we are destroying our bodies to the point where by the time we become health conscious, we can't even make no babies. You know, and so we're creating this gap where our population is dwindling in a weird way. Like we got old people, we got children, and then all of the people in the middle are sick, you know, alternatively sexually oriented. Hopefully I've said that politically correct. You know,
in prison.
In prison, you know what I'm saying, which contributes to the alternative orienting. And then so there's a lot of things. And then even places like China right now, if you ask me, I would say God is whooping them. You know what I'm saying? Because for years they had laws in place where you can only have one baby and all kinds of crazy stuff going on over there. So now they actually need babies, and the people are not capable because of the way the body's designed. If you don't use it, you lose it. So, which is one of the largest contributing factors to fibroids, you know, so much recreational sex that, you know, you're tricking the body. It's almost like chewing gum. When you're chewing gum, your stomach inflates because your stomach thinks that a meal is coming down, but the meal never comes.
Not actually there.
Yeah, so you having so much recreational sex, your body keep prepping like, oh, okay, we're getting ready to, but nothing ever comes except for maybe a Plan B pill or you know, yeah, these injections just to like mess up the hormones.
It's like drying up the breast milk.
Yeah, and so
we're taking.
Yeah. And so we're taking hormone disruptors to stop pregnancy, but at the same time, if you're consuming certain food, you're getting hormones in the food. So you're taking hormone disruptors, and the hormones that you're disrupting, you're replacing from animals. So it gets, yeah, so it's getting crazy with the infertility issues right now. But that's one thing I would just say, people could get more up to date on, like, the fact that we're having a baby making crisis at the same time as there's a global financial crisis. That's God, in my perspective, that's God trying to tell you folks, like, hey, wake up, wake up.
Yeah, I'm doing some amount of things, and that ain't what y'all doing, ain't it?
Yeah, so then my second thing would be, I'm not going to say get comfortable with being broke, but, like, you know, just be a little bit more realistic with what's important. So that way, you're not so thirsty. Like, if you gotta quit, I'm down with you quitting your job. You know what I'm saying? And I'm down with scrapping until you get another job, or I'll hold it down as best I can on my end until we figure it out. But you definitely not getting ready to pop a baby out and then vanish back to work and then blah, blah, blah. Like, that's, we not getting ready to do that for a few dollars or because you thinking like you're going to miss a promotion or something like that. Like, no.
Hold on. So real quick, can you do me a favor. As we're trying to encourage the community to be different, can you say some words directly to the brothers? As it is, we are celebrating the gods. That is a thing I've personally experienced where you're like, hey, I ain't got nothing. You know, I can't do nothing. I'm a female. I can't even think right now, but I know we out of money and you need to do something. And I'm not coming at you sideways. I'm just asking you to play your part.
Yeah, you got to hold it down. You got to figure that you got, but you got to go into it that way. Like,
didn't have to ask him.
Yeah, you got to go into it that way. And so that's where I think the value of children got to come in, because my dad had a bunch of babies and, you know, he was a street guy, but later on he got a job and he just always stressed that a man is defined by his children, by how well he does by his children. It's all about taking care of your children. If you don't take care of your children, you're not a man. So
you got to still take care of that woman too.
Well, you got to take care of the woman because she's going to take care of the children. And you got to try your best to put a positive construction on her because they're going to look up to her. You know what I'm saying? So that was the thing that was programmed into us from the jump. Like, you live or die on your babies. Yeah. There's nothing else of value. And so with him being in the street, you know, we grew up with things, you know what I'm saying? Gold and name brands, and his thing always was, none of this is as important as new life. None of this is important as new life. A pair of jeans, a gold chain, a nice watch, a car doesn't carry your DNA into the future. Nothing gives you immortality except for your babies. Like, that's the highest aspiration you can have, is to duplicate yourself. Like, that's what it is all about. So that's the thing with that, you know what I'm saying? My third part would be focusing on the nutrition. Pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, and then post-pregnancy, with an emphasis on neurochemistry. A lot of times, because of the stress, we don't realize that the cortisol level goes up. And this is post-traumatic stress syndrome, just any kind of stress. It makes your cortisol level go up. And cortisol,
fat.
Yeah, and cortisol tells the fat cells to release the sugar, to mobilize sugar energy. And so what happens is, the more cortisol goes up, the more you actually crave sweets to neutralize the adrenaline and the cortisol. The problem is, there's no exercise, there's no balance, there's no antioxidants, there's no minerals, and the worst part about it, there's no fiber. So the sugar just kind of spikes, and because we got so much sugar, well, it breaks the neurochemistry cycle too, because one of the things that you need to balance your moods is serotonin. But your body can't produce serotonin if it doesn't have
stress. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it needs the tryptophan.
Yeah.
Tryptophan is the aromatic amino acid you need to make serotonin. But if you got high levels of sugar, your body won't metabolize tryptophan.
Right.
So the high amounts of sugar stop you from metabolizing tryptophan, and now you can't produce serotonin. So you just angry and ornery, and you don't even know why after a while. Like, you can't fix it even if you wanted to.
Because you just know. You got the shakes.
Now you're the angry woman. Angry mother.
Yeah, yes. And the same thing is probably going on with dad to make it worse. So yeah. Angry mother combined with angry dad, right? So then I would say number four is, be honest with yourself. If you're not a baby person, please do not team up with one of us baby people and then try to have a baby. Like, don't have a baby for money. Don't have a baby for marriage. Don't have a baby for a person. If you're not a baby person, please do us all a favor and just don't make no babies.
Michael Jackson said it best. If you can't feed the baby, then don't have the baby.
Yeah, because some people, they're just not baby people. And this is the people you get that get super bitter later on because they had the baby for the relationship. And now the relationship ain't working out. They really quadruply mad they had that baby.
Right. And now that's when the children really start to feel it, because every time you get upset, you're looking at the opposite person, not yourself. You're looking at the person that you hate, because half of that DNA comes from that person. And now instead of talking to that child like a child, you talk to that person like a grown person that you're upset with.
You remind me of your father looking like this. You remind me of your mother. You know, so number five, I would say, is try to weed out the fake family members and the fake friends, because you're going to need extended family when you have babies. You know, that's going to be very important, the extended family, the people you can count on, the phone number you can call for people to come pull up right now. Hey, such and such just fell down. I need you to drive me over here. Or listen, this ain't whatever, whatever. I need $100. Or like, you need to know who extended family is for real. Right. A lot of times we have people. Yeah. A lot of times we got people around us, and we don't find out till years later that this nigga was only around for opportunity. You know what I'm saying? They was around for hanging around for something. And you don't find out that these be fake niggas right up until they feel like they don't need you no more. And then you need them. And all of a sudden you go into voicemail and shit. You're like, So, you know, I would say try to evaluate the people around you as best as possible, because you're going to need that village. You know, that whole mindset of, I don't need nobody, I could do this on my own. That's not really a real thing.
That's terrible for you and the child.
You're going to need some folks. Then lastly, I would say, once you have your children, be stingy with your children. Time is more valuable than fake fiat currency. Do not be shipping your children off to daycares and, you know, such and such babysitting, and oh, they spending the night with their friend's house and all that. Nah. You could let the friends come spend the night over here with us. You ain't going over. No. Because all kinds of things happens to your kids in other places. And children are fragile. Children are fragile. You don't get another shot. It doesn't, you can't fix it.
I'll say impressionable, because it's not that you can't fix it, because we all work on healing ourselves. I wouldn't want to put that on our babies. Now, I would agree and say they're impressionable, and you want to make a good impression during their adolescence where they lack control and you are responsible for the curation of their experience as a child. Like,
well, I mean, more crazy stuff. Like, if your child gets touched at another person's house, you can work through some things and do all that, but you can't like take away the fact that their innocence is, you know, and even if the person goes to jail, like, it doesn't take that experience. Yeah, you can't take that experience away. Like, there was a story on the news where these parents had let their child, the child had begged them, they wanted to go to like the, it was like a amusement park with another child. So it's like, all right, well, you could spend the night at the other child's house, you know, and then go early in the morning. You know, you get on the bus like 4 or 5 o'clock. Anyway, they child wound up getting burnt up 90% of the child's body. And they said that the child's a 7-year-old boy, that he was in the backyard cooking dinner with his buddy, and he got burned up. Now, the kid who lived there, he didn't get burned at all. Just they kid got burned up 90% of his body. Like, it just like, and then you just like, for what? To let them go over there to go to amusement park the next day? Like, nah, it wasn't that serious. You know what I'm saying? Be stingy with your child time. And then on the flip side, you know, you don't want to miss things. You don't want to miss things. Like, there's no value on missing your child's first words, first steps. You know, the first time they stood up and started to do their little things and turn it, you know, there's no value on missing those things. And a video is cool, but videos don't really, it's not the same as being there.
Let me just say this, because I think you made several. Thank you for all six, because I think I just gave one long one. I appreciate that. The issue regarding the emotional effects that yelling and screaming, stressing and hitting or whatever, over emoting with your baby or your child or your toddler, the effect that it has over time, and what it does, it creates trauma. It creates trauma in the child. They have fear. They learn that adults are not good. So they reject authority. I mean, they can grow up with a whole lot of issues. They don't trust, because the first system that is created when we're born is the belief system. I believe this person is my mother. I believe this person is my father. I believe they're going to take care of me. Oh, look, I crap. And they changed my diaper. Ooh, I believe I'm hungry. If I cry, they're going to feed me. So the belief system is the very first system that's formed. And if I believe, even as a infant, that I can't trust the person who I was born to take care of me, you know, who do you think I'm going to go through life trusting? I'm not going to trust anybody. I can't trust my own parent. But the mother is the first teacher. So whatever she's giving that child, you know, that child is going to think it's normal. And if they're angry, they're going to live with anger. They're going to grow up with anger. They're going to grow up thinking that being yelled at is normal. They're going to grow up stressed, trying to please other people, you know, so they can be liked or loved. It's dangerous.
Ooh.
What's the matter, sir?
You had said something. I think I pressed too many buttons. There we go. You had said something that this is from my childhood.
Mm-hmm. Live what they learn. Learn what they live.
Right? So, and I keep this as a reminder for parenting. So my six, right? Creating experience. So this says if a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. So you want to create an experience of love and peace and continuing learning, right? Two, make a practice of self-love and discipline. Discipline is the greatest form of self-love because it shows delayed gratification. It allows you to have patience and compassion for yourself during the process. And by practicing that, then you begin to model that for whomever's around you. Your children, your spouse, your community, they begin to trust you because you are consistent first with yourself. Number three is create a pattern of healing. So whether that's nutritional healing or mental healing or emotional or financial, create a pattern of getting yourself out of the habit. Shameless plug, tune into the previous shows of Fit to Heal. If you've got financial issues, we've had somebody on the show for that. If you've got emotional issues, we've had somebody on the show for that. You can and should be doing on a day-to-day basis. Number four, I said, study yourself in every way imaginable. As a mother, and I have my notebook somewhere around here, if not in arm's distance or else I would reach it, but I call it my letters to the future, to my future, which I wrote to my children in utero about the things that they made me eat, the things that I liked and didn't like, how they changed my everything. Those things are still true to this day. I can go back and show them how much I studied them, AKA us. And that makes a difference when you're trying to teach somebody about themselves, including yourself. Mm-hmm. Number five is study what you want to teach. So if you want to, for example, for me, I want to be a good mother. I want to teach my children how not to carry on some of the traumatic past. So I read books that helped me do those things. Naturally Awaken the Genius of Black Children. I got another book over here that my mom gave me, but it's not in arm's distance, right? You've got to study the thing for which you want to do. You are the expert on your children, but you need more advice and understanding. And then six is have fun. in everything that we do. I teach my kids, listen, be respectful, and do your very best. So when you're applying these things that Dr. Inky has told us, that Rosalind has told us, that I've shared with you, do your very best. Have like the best time at it that you've ever had, because that energy, that emotion will change the power behind what you're trying to accomplish. So with that, Mom, any last words? Tell me what you got going on, where we can find you. Then I'll drop you out. Then Inky, it's your turn. Then I'll drop you out. And then I'll do our closing.
Okay. So you can find me. I'm in Suffolk at the Wellness Center on North Main Street. The address is 431 North Main Street. It's called Just for the Health of It Wellness Center. I'm there Monday through Thursday, 10 through 6. And we've got emotional trauma healing, we've got reflexology, massage therapy, aromatherapy, DNA testing, biometric scanning, most things health and wellness, and even personal fitness training. What I was going to tell you something. What else was it? That's it. That's it. That's it.
I love it. All right, Dr. Inky, your turn.
I would say thanks to everybody that watched, shared the video, subscribe. You can catch me on American Healer YouTube channel or Dr. Inky Instagram. Or you can shoot me a text, 586-298-5000. I'm out here in the street.
I like it. I like it. Thank you, sir. And peace, y'all. I'm the Fit Goddess, bringing you the show Fit to Heal every Monday at, well, for the next couple of weeks at 8 o'clock. But typically, it's at 7:15. So I'm going to do my B-roll. Hold on. Let me drop myself out. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. As we come to the end of this episode, The Angry Mother Syndrome and Its Impact on Children, we want to express our heartfelt gratitude to our panel and all of you for joining us today. Reflecting on our discussions, we recognize the importance of addressing this syndrome with sensitivity, compassion, and commitment to creating healthier environments for families. It is crucial that we acknowledge the unique challenges faced by Black families, as systematic racism and intergenerational trauma intersect with the angry mother syndrome, amplifying its effects. Remember, healing begins with the awareness and understanding. Let us continue to advocate for systematic change, support mental health initiatives, and work towards dismantling the oppressive systems that perpetuate trauma within the Black community. We encourage all our listeners to seek support both personally and within their communities, and to share the knowledge gained from today's episodes with others. Together, we can foster resilience, promote healing, and empower families to break the cycle of angry mother syndrome. We would like to extend a special thanks again for Dr. Inky and Rosalind, your life coach. If you found today's episode informative and impactful, please remember to like, subscribe, and share the Fit to Heal podcast with others who may benefit from this conversation. Stay connected with us on social media and visit our website for future updates and resources. Thank you once again for being a part of this important dialogue. We look forward to bringing you more thought-provoking discussions and empowering episodes on the Fit to Heal podcast. Take care of yourselves and each other. Goodbye for now. Peace.